This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
3, 2, 1.
Sci-Fi for Me Radio presents Sonia Rodriguez.
You have no idea how to talk to a woman, do you?
Jason Hunt.
Is this a test?
This is Sci-Fi XY.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks very much for joining us here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio. This is Sci-Fi XY. My name is Jason Hunt. I am the editor, fearless leader, chief cook and bottle washer, trash hauler. Basically, do a little bit of everything around here at sci-fi4me.com. Across from me, my co-conspirator on this show,
Sonia Rodriguez,
who is a teacher, a mother, a wife, best friend,
mother, and longtime friend.
Slowly settling back in to
radio
talent.
Podcasting.
Podcasting now.
Used to be radio.
And on our last episode, we started talking about reading.
Right.
Reading is fundamental.
Exactly.
And you want to start off with, let you start off this time.
Okay, I'm going to put our fearless leader on the spot here, but I promised him that he'd be able to answer. The last time we did a podcast on HTO, we talked about story, how important story is.
Yes.
And we talked about that some of the best stories came from books, mm-hmm. you know, and that I was thinking, okay, well, so I'm going to do this, and I should read, because one of the genres that I don't read is sci-fi. I don't read very many sci-fi books.
You do a lot of fantasy.
Right. I do fantasy, and I do, you know, romance.
Sparkly vampires.
Yeah. And,
excuse me. I had some caught in my throat there.
Sure you did. Yeah. It's a genre that I have not dwelled into, and I thought, okay, well, you know, if I'm doing this summer push with, you know, with XY, the show, and I really should read some sci-fi books. So then I thought about it, and I said, you know, a lot of the good movies came from the books.
Yes.
And I thought, you know what? I need to do some research. Like, what are the top 10 must-read sci-fi books? So I went to your site first to see if maybe the editor-in-chief had a top 10 list of his own, and he didn't.
No, we actually
have not. We'll remedy that, though.
Yeah, we actually have not done a whole lot of the top 10 list. Sites like BuzzFeed and
yes.
those kind of things with the listicles and
right.
stuff kind of soured me on the whole, you know, let's do this or take this quiz and look at this list.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily a quiz. And when I did some research online about it, because I was thinking, okay, what are the top 10 books that I need to, because when you're new to something, the first thing you do is you start to research it
right.
because you want to know. I mean, you just don't want to read garbage. You want to make sure that you're doing.
Well, you've already read Twilight.
Stop. You know, you want to start where you're supposed to.
Right.
And of course, you know, there's going to be opinions and stuff like that. So
yeah, all of those top 10 lists are so subjective.
Yes, but a lot of them weren't. I saw a lot of the same books on the list,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, okay, then these, you know, and of course, I conferred with my husband who has read some of them. And said, oh, yeah, that was a great book. And
now to interject here, Blaise Lipinski has done on our site, we do have an article from Blaise, and we'll link to it
mm-hmm.
On this one, where he's done sort of a sci-fi primer.
Right.
You know, here are some of the different books that you could start out with.
Yeah.
It's not any kind of a top 10 list, but it's a recommended reading list.
Yes. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So then I went to, like, you know, recommended reading lists for people that are new to sci-fi. Well, I'm not new to I don't know how to put it, because I'm not new to sci-fi. This is just a part of it that I never did.
Right.
I see all the movies and I really enjoy them. And my husband had told me, you know, you will enjoy these books because you love the movies. You know, so it was just I needed a starting point. So I thought, okay, let me look at people's top 10 list. And then I said, you know what? Who would make a really good top 10 list would be our editor-in-chief of Sci-Fi for Me. And when I was looking at the different websites at how they do it, it's kind of cool because it gives the person who's making the top 10 list, usually, and is usually their editor
mm-hmm.
or somebody they've hired,
right.
they're giving an opinion about it. And it's not like this long, drawn out synopsis. No. It's just this little blurb of, you know, what this guy thought about it, thought about the book. And I thought, you know what? You know, who better than...
So you're going to put me on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, well, yes, I do want to know what your top 10 is. And then after you say, you know, when you start brainstorming or thinking, and you can think while we're talking about other things, but I mean, you need to think of the top 10 books that but you have to think about me, because it's what you're going to tell me to read. Because this is what I'm hoping to do this summer, is to tackle some of these books over the summertime. So that way I can, and it will be, you know, it's because we talked about XY being a newbie show, and these are going to be brand new to me. I've never read these books, and it's going to be kind of ridiculous because someone's like, she's never read that. Is she insane? Why? Especially with the audience that we have. But it's true. I've just never read those books.
Yeah. And I can say,
I mean, I even shocked my husband.
Don't feel bad about that, because there are certain books, certain films that, as a lifelong card-carrying geek, I should have already read or watched or consumed.
Wow.
There are some that I have not. I've seen bits and pieces, you know, along the way. Invasion of the Body Snatchers being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've sat through Close Encounters all the way through once.
Yeah,
you know, I catch snippets of it on
I lost
on television, but
big.
Big
points for not having watched that already when I met my husband. I mean, it was huge points I lost.
But there are a lot of those like that. You know, mm-hmm. Clockwork Orange. I've never watched Clockwork Orange. You know, The Shining. You know, but I mean, yeah, that's more the horror. That's more horror.
That's horror.
So it's never really
and that's,
been.
You know, when I was doing my homework, a lot of the stuff goes into, you had a strictly sci-fi list,
mm-hmm.
and then there was the sci-fi fantasy list.
Right.
So I don't really want to go into the fantasy list. I just really want to
Because fantasy, you've got pretty much covered.
Yeah, I was...
Except for Pern.
Yeah. But, I mean, I really want to stay close to just...
And that actually leads me to a surprise of my own for you.
Oh, okay.
Earlier this year, I got you to start reading The Dragon Riders of Pern.
Right.
And you started with Dragonflight, which is the first book. And we were going to read it together. The plan was to read it together. And your complaint was that since I'd already
read it. You'd already read it.
Yeah,
so
it's not, we're not reading it together. You understand?
You've read it, yeah.
Several times. I found one I haven't read. I was reading Dragon's Kin, which is something like the 19th or 20th book in the series.
See, and there's even discussion online about that there aren't, that it is a trilogy, that it's only a trilogy, and the fourth book goes
Pern?
Yeah.
No, there's like 25 books in
that.
There's
huge discussions online about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they fight, it's like a big discussion that it is not a series. It is only a trilogy, and after the third book, it dwells into something else, and it is the same people, places and characters, but the original story is only a trilogy.
Well,
now since I haven't read them, I can't
yes
jump on the sides.
Yeah, yes and no. There, the first you've
See?
Got the first trilogy, Dragonflight, Dragon Quest, and the White Dragon. Those are the first three.
Right.
You know, started in 67, and you had those three books. Then you have the Dragon Singer trilogy.
Okay.
Which is Dragon Singer, Dragon Drums, and Dragon Song, I think.
And there's some people that are online very adamant about that. It's not one huge series of 25 books.
See, I don't understand how anybody could say that, because it's an ongoing story.
Oh, yeah. It's like when I was online, there's some people that are very adamant.
Because the Harper Hall trilogy happens concurrently with the main trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as far as those go. And then you've got all the Wares of Pern. I mean, you've got so many different ones that overlap in their storylines,
mm-hmm.
and then you have, you know, some of the standalone books that take place in different parts of the chronology of the planet's history.
Right.
You know, you've got First Fall, and you've got Merida's Ride, and all of these that are single one-shot standalone stories, but they get referenced in other books. You know, this reminds me of when Merida did her thing, or you know, Merida gets a song, and now you know every now and then the Harpers will sing Merida's song, and it's all connected. you know, kind of like Marvel. It's all connected. And so I'm reading Dragon's Kin, which is one of the ones that Anne wrote with her son Todd toward the end of her time writing the books. And I look inside. I'm okay. Well, what's the next one? What's the next? Dragon's Kin is about a kid named Kindon who lives in one of the minecraft. So he's actually part of the mining community. And I go to the next book, which is Dragon Harper, and realize there's a book in the middle that I haven't read. It's called Dragon's Fire.
But I'm going to have to wait until I get all the way to that part.
Well, they're not.
Are you going to read it without me?
They're not connected. No, Dragon's Fire, I'm not going to read until you've got to a point where you can read it. And then I realize there's another one out there. So I start looking at the titles and stuff on the list. There's more out there than I've read.
Yeah.
I was like, how did I miss these?
There's a lot.
Yeah, but there's two that I know of. There's two Dragon Riders books that I haven't read yet. So those are on my list now. There's one in the Honor Harrington series that is supposed to be coming out sometime that's not out yet. But there are short story collections that I haven't read and some different things that are in that universe that I haven't read. So there's stuff that I haven't consumed. But then, you know, Plan 9 from Outer Space. I've never watched it. It's a classic. It's terrible. Everybody hates it, but everybody loves to hate it. I have a copy. I have a VHS copy. I've never sat and watched it. You know, Day of the Triffids, you know, The Omega Man, which is the Charlton Heston version of Last Man on Earth with Will Smith.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and those kind of things.
Legend. You know,
I am Legend. Oh, that's right.
My husband loves that movie.
Well, that's not the first time it's been made. What's some of the other ones?
So if you, as editor-in-chief, what would be your top 10 books? So
if I had to pick...
And, of course, there's always room for honorable mentions.
Well, I think the entire Honor Harrington series would count as one. Because that...
What's the name of the first book?
On Basilisk Station.
Okay.
I'll write these down. you have that one, and that's basically... And it's one of these that's got a very, very strong female protagonist. Mm-hmm. She's the hero, and she's a soldier, and she's, you know... I mean, really, really three-dimensional, really good military science fiction. The Dragon Riders of Pern, of course.
Okay.
We've established those. Modern stuff, I'd say...
They had old and new, and on the list.
Yeah,
there's
so much that's out there, though. I'm just looking at my library, just kind of glancing through. Imzadi is a good one. That's a Star Trek The Next Generation book.
Okay.
That basically plays with the entire... relationship between Riker and Troy when they first met and all of that.
Your list is completely different from what's...
The Han Solo trilogy from Anne Crispin, which is a Star Wars set. Mm-hmm. Planet of the Apes. The original, translated from...
Oh, and you know how much I love that.
Translated from the French. And it's funny. I had a library sale. They were getting rid of a bunch of books. You know, you sell these old things. And I ran across one because I was looking for books, some really old books for props in a movie. Mm-hmm. We were doing the Statement of Randolph Carter.
Oh, okay.
Which is set in the 1920s, and so I'm looking for really old books
that have the binding and.
Yeah, and I ran across this one, and it's in French, and I'm looking through, and I turned and I glanced back at the title. And I was like, a little bell went off.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. And I looked at it again, thought to myself, this is Planet of the Apes.
Wow.
In French. This is the original.
Oh my gosh.
And I think it was a first printing.
No.
I'm getting this one, and I'm not sharing.
Yeah.
You know? And it's somewhere around here. But I can't read it. Because I don't know French.
Of course.
But I recognize the title of it. This is the French version. And I look for the copyright date, and it looks like it's an early printing if it's not a first edition.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, Planet of the Apes is one. Wow, I'd have to think about this one because there's so much.
Well, let me fill your head with all the research I did.
Okay.
Because it went some of the book titles they had, and you're gonna love one of them. That's so funny. So I don't want to mention your competition's website, so I'm not gonna.
No, you're okay.
So one of the top lists include, and these were ones that were on all the lists.
Ender's Game. Let me throw that one in there. Ender's Game's good.
Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Ender's Game.
Yes.
Those were ones that were on every single list. 2001 Space Odyssey.
Now, see, here's the thing about 2001. There are different versions of that. You have the movie, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
We're just strictly talking books,
and
not the movie.
There's a book version of 2001, but that story is originally based on a short story called The Sentinel.
Oh, okay.
Which is a short story in a collection by Arthur C. Clarke. And I'd say anything by Clark or anything by Heinlein would be a good place to start. Space Cadet being one of them.
So I'm trying to think of the ones that were on everybody's list. It was Dune, Ender's Game, 2001 Space Odyssey, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Absolutely.
Was pretty much on everybody's list.
Yep.
Another book that was on everybody's list was 1984. And I can honestly say I've read that one, but it's been so long since I read it.
See, that's another one of those. That's another one of those that I could admit I didn't read.
Yeah.
I read it
so long ago that I would have to reread it.
Yep. Maybe we'll put that on our list.
Yes. One person had, I thought this was funny, Starship Troopers.
Yeah, by Robert A. Heinlein. Yes. It's a good book.
It was actually on two lists.
Nothing like the movie because the book.
And that's
the
what
book.
My husband said. My husband said, because he's actually read the book, and he goes, I know you hate the movie, but you would actually like the book.
The movie basically takes the core idea of the book and turns the whole thing into an over-the-top liberal satire of
really
everything.
Over-the-top.
Really.
Dumb.
Really.
I can't say. And a book that was on, and I'm, you know, this might really embarrass me, but this book was on every single list, and I had never, ever heard of this book by William Gibson, a Neuromancer. Never even heard of it. All the other titles, I was like, oh, I know that.
Yep.
But it's on every single list, and I never even heard of it.
Yeah, Neuromancer is one of those very esoteric books that it's niche within a niche within a niche. Anybody who likes Blade Runner type of stuff, where Neuromancer was one of the first to get into the idea of virtual reality and your mind being in the net. Your mind's above your neck, but you're being in that electronic world, getting sucked into that, Neuromancer is one of those.
I thought it was so weird that this book was, because every other one, I said, oh yeah, I've heard about that, oh yeah.
Yeah, Neuromancer was groundbreaking at the time when it came out.
And then, okay, so there's Fahrenheit 451.
Very good book.
That was on several people's list.
And oddly enough, Fahrenheit 451 has been pretty prescient in predicting some of the technology that we have now with some of those things.
Okay.
At the same time, getting into some politics that we have to deal with now too, being politically correct. And this is not a book you can have on your list because the wrong people are treated the wrong way.
Foundation.
Yeah, the Foundation trilogy by Isaac Asimov.
Brave New World. Those are some of the books.
Sci-Fi is actually going to make a new version of that. Brave New World has been made into a movie twice now. NBC has done it. Sci-Fi did it with Leonard Nimoy a few years ago, and now they're working on a new adaptation of it.
Okay, and then these were some outsider. I mean, not everybody had these on the list, but it was. They put it at the top. I mean, some of them had them on one. Dream of Electric Sheep.
Do Androids Dream of...
I'm sorry. I didn't read the whole title. Do Androids...
That's the short story that serves as the basis for Blade Runner.
Ah, okay.
Philip K. Dick wrote that.
Stranger in a Strange Land
was
another outsider that it just appeared on one list.
And that's one of those that You either love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is no in the middle kind of, eh, it's okay.
One list, this, I have to mention this one. This was the list that my husband liked. So when I put this, when I researched this one.
That's the more important one, I guess.
Yes, it was the one that he liked. It has Brave New World as number one, the book to read, Brave New World. And Israel thought that that was a good start.
Yep.
It has The War of the Worlds, second, and then Red Mars, Dune, Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
2001 Space Odyssey, Ender's Game, Doomsday Book. Oh, that was another one that wasn't everywhere. The Fahrenheit 451 and the Android one, Numancer.
That's a good list.
And so that's what, that was his, out of all the lists that I was looking up, he said that was a good list. And then I went to the NPR organization because they didn't have a sci-fi.
Yeah, because NPR is all nose in the air, hoity-toity types.
They created a top 10 list of that combined fantasy. And I know I'm not going to get into fantasy, but their top 10 was, of course, The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
They had the Song of Ice and Fire because it's so popular now.
Right.
And then the rest of them are all the other books. But those are the two. Their slash fantasy, we're just putting those two in. The rest of them are all sci-fi.
Yeah. Well, now, not to say, because that's completely different from the slash fiction list,
mm-hmm.
because we're not going to get into slash fiction here.
Yeah.
But yeah, fantasy, yeah, well, you could, yeah, Lord of the Rings is a good one. Mm-hmm. H.P. Lovecraft, he's got some good stuff that started off as gothic horror that evolved into science fiction. It has some fantasy elements, but it's, you know, it turned into aliens and, you know, old beings and stuff from space. Ben Bova is a good author to read. Frederick Pohl, Ursula Le Guin, Neil Gaiman, Anne Crispin is always a winner. I like reading. It was a shame that she passed away last year because she'd been fighting cancer. I was lucky enough to get to interview her once about her Pirates of the Caribbean book.
This point where there's so much to read.
There is.
There's so much, and I just like I told you know I was telling people, yeah, I can't read everything, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
I need like a top, and you know, you start talking to people, and you're like, oh, you just need a top 10. You got to start somewhere, a top 10. What's the first book that you should read? And you're, you know, and I thought, well, there's only one person to ask, you know, really, when I think about it.
And there's, it's hard sometimes because a lot of the stuff that I read is part of a series.
Right.
And if I recommend a book, I'm basically recommending a book plus the next 20 that come afterwards.
Yeah, that's
and
not a good thing
people
for
look
me.
At, people look at and they go, well, wait a minute.
Well, you've already recommended
a huge thing.
The Perm. So I'm Perm, reading the series.
Yes.
So maybe
Dragon
the next,
Riders is a good one.
The next sci-fi book has to be just the book that stands alone.
Well, now, there are a lot of the Star Trek and the Star Wars novels that are good standalone books. I have not read any of the new ones yet. You know, the new Star Wars continuity.
Why is that?
I haven't had time.
Oh, okay.
I haven't had time.
I thought
and
maybe
I
you had
any...
some sort of negative.
No. I don't. I'm not one of these that is, you know, the expanded universe is sacrosanct and it must not be touched because it's never been connected to anything else.
Right.
Whereas now that we're getting new movies, it's much more of a concern that your shared universe becomes a thing that's got some reasonable amount of continuity between all of them. And the Star Wars thing is kind of different. Star Wars and Star Trek both is a little bit different than what you've got, like, say, over at Marvel.
Right.
Where you've got the movies and the TV shows and everything else connected.
It's,
well, sort of.
To be honest, the whole DC Marvel... It's overwhelming to me.
Mm-hmm. It can be.
I just, you know, you don't know where to start.
Yeah.
So it's not something, but when you talk about reading the novels of Star Trek or the Star Wars novels, that feels more comfortable because that's established.
Yeah, they're separate.
Yes.
And they don't have, because you look at all the Star Trek novels, and they're all standalones.
Right.
And if you...
Because it's an established, I guess, what do you say, universe? It's an established universe. There's established protocol for how... things are run in that way of life.
And if you're going to read a Star Trek book without really knowing much about Star Trek, I would watch Space Seed, the episode with Khan, watch that one first, and then read the two Khan novels that Greg Cox wrote. because they're brilliant. They're very, very, very good books. And the second one actually leads into Star Trek II.
Ah.
And basically takes us through the destruction of SETI Alpha 5 and all of the stuff that was going on with the eels and everything else. And that's a good one to read.
Yeah, so all this came from that discussion that we had, and that you – it was kind of an extension of a conversation that you'd already started with Tim. Stories. Just good stories that – and a lot of these books, they were written quite a bit ago.
Oh, yeah, long time
ago. And so that's how – that's another definition of a good story. It stands the test of time.
It does, yes. Twilight's not going to be around for another 20
years. Oh, it was fun. It's a fun read. And the books are much better than the movie, and a lot of people judge them by the movies, and the movies are not good. They don't...
Well, and that's like Harry Potter. You know, the Harry Potter books are an easy read.
Yes.
They are...
The Twilight books were an easy read.
They're cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't
And there's
have
nothing wrong with cotton candy. It tastes fantastic.
I guess.
But, I mean, a lot of people base that trilogy on the movies, and it's not. The books are so much better than the movies. The movies are not good. You'll have people that disagree with me. They'll say, oh, the movies are great.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's like 50 Shades of Grey. Mm. It's such a fantastic thing. How? How is that a good thing? War of the Worlds is good.
Mm-hmm.
Anything by Edgar Allan Poe, which is technically not sci-fi. It's detective, but, you know, he's one of the very first that did anything. Fall of the House of Usher is a really good story.
What I'm going to make Jason do is come up with just 10, because he's shot out about, if I were to go back and count, he's probably shot out about 20.
Well,
I'm
going to
make,
pick,
yes, it's but I'm going to make ones. Him. I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you
well,
just
see,
pick 10.
And then you have...
There's always honorable mentions.
Well, you have your list of the best, and, you know, like I said, it's subjective, because there are a lot of classic science fiction books that I haven't read yet.
Yeah.
It's on my list, but, you know, I just, you know,
yeah,
everything else, and life happens.
And I mean,
that,
you know,
so.
As editor-in-chief, I think you should have an opinion on
the
site. Oh, I
have plenty of opinions.
Yeah, about what should be read and what, you know, some sci-fi books that should be read.
You're going to put me on the spot that way.
Oh, yeah. Because you... part of this, to me, is that you're the authoritative. You know this stuff, so why not? Why can't we hear your opinions on it and suggestions on it?
Well, I suppose I could do something. In my spare time. Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum. Oh, you don't have the summer off?
No.
Wrong job.
No, wrong job. Well, and Tim and I have frequently said that we're in the wrong business. You know, it's, you know, because here in Kansas City, we don't have very many opportunities for getting into the film the film world as much as we'd like.
And like I said, you know, once, you know, if it's up on the site, we get to do it, and you can narrow it down to 10. It doesn't have to be something that's hard, and it can change. It can be a living, breathing...
A living document.
Yes, a living document.
Like the Constitution.
And of course, there's always... It could spark great conversations. Yeah. If you don't agree with the list, feel free to comment and say no.
Yeah.
Everybody that's getting into sci-fi reading needs to start with this book, and of course, why? Mm-hmm. You know, you can go on and on. It can create great conversations.
You know,
everyone's going to have their opinion.
Yeah, and I think some of that too is going to be generational, because if you've got somebody like James who doesn't like to read,
right?
And so, you know, you've got to find something that's good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Heinlein juveniles are one. You know, right. Space Cadet, and, you know, Earth to the Moon, you know, Rocket Ship Galileo, those kind of things. Whereas, you know, on the fantasy side, he didn't really get in until not Harry Potter, the other one, Percy Jackson.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he started reading the Percy
Jackson.
My older
son, yes. Oh, he loved those books.
And he just devoured those.
Yeah.
You know, he's halfway through 4, and he's already asking to go to the bookstore and buy 5.
My older son.
He just wants to go from one to the next to the next. I was like, that's great.
Let's go. Get in the car.
here's this in the meantime.
Yeah.
Read this. I don't want to read that. But it's, you know, it's the same kind of thing. And, you know, sit down in front of the movies, you know, rent something, or, you know, get something on Netflix, or we come across something really old, like the original King Kong, or Journey to the Center of the Earth, or at the Earth's Core, you know, all these, you know, The Lost World and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, do I have to sit and watch it? You know, he's always wishy-washy about watching, you know, about something that I've recommended that he watch, and at the end of it, 99% of the time he's enjoyed it.
Oh, of course.
It's good. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, that happens every single time with my boys. It was all right.
Books would be the same way. Like, I'm telling you, this is good. Read this. It's good. I don't know. Okay, if you've got a suggestion on what should go on that top 10 list, what you think are some of the best science fiction books of all time.
Non-negotiable. You wouldn't negotiate at all.
This is your list, and it has to be. Send us a note, leave us a comment, or send us an email.
Jason will consider it in his list.
Yeah, I'll think about it. On a good day, if I'm in the right mood and I'm feeling generous.
Love to hear it since I'm going to start this endeavor.
And you can find us on the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+. Pinterest is more for the cosplayers, though. So if you do any cosplay from your favorite book, you know, that would be a place to go. And that's going to do it for us this time. Sonia Rodriguez.
Yes, that's me.
That's you. And my name is Jason Hunt. Thanks very much for listening to this episode of Sci-Fi XY here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio. And we will be back with another episode very soon.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.